parsing some of the hidden portions of the trillion-dollar budget bill that Congress has agreed to but hasn't yet passed.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. More now on that massive spending bill that seems to have gelled on Capitol Hill last night. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has been looking through the 1,603-page bill and has noticed several pieces that could easily get overlooked in the political shuffle that's going to happen over the next few days. Good morning, Tracy.
Morning, David.
What is this about changing the way that banks take risk?
Wall Street lawyers and analysts are going to have a really busy day trying to make sense of this. To back up, part of the Dodd-Frank financial reforms of 2010 aimed to keep banks from getting too, you know, fancy with some kinds of derivatives, especially if those risky bets are made in parts of the bank that enjoy federal deposit insurance. There was much debate as to whether or not to roll those changes back as part of this spending bill.
The derivatives in question are called swaps, and Wall Street uses them to do fancy financial footwork. But, you know, farmers and commodities markets also use swaps to hedge.
Right. That's the thing. So there are different readings on what this spending bill has come up with as a proposal overnight. Does the new provision represent a victory for banks who can now keep doing these derivatives? Or are the new exemptions just for farmers and the commodity folks? Like a lot of this trillion-dollar spending plan, the intentions will become clearer as the stakeholders get a closer look.
Now, there's also buried in the new spending plan something that might, what, shore up troubled pension plans?
Right. We're talking about insurance for pensions that cover multiple employers. That federal insurance plan is way underfunded, tens of billions of dollars, and we're seeing an effort to close that gap. So stay tuned. The House could vote on this bill as soon as today.
Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson, thank you. Another piece of the huge spending bill that's emerged this morning, a bid to allow truck drivers to operate for longer hours, pending a new study on the safety problems of tired truck drivers. Republicans sided with the trucking industry on this. Insurance groups, highway safety, and the Department of Transportation wants the stricter limits on hours driven to stay. Car and truck manufacturers are wrapping up a fine year. If sales are the measure, if vehicle recalls are the measure, a different picture emerges. But the profits are front and center as the United Auto Workers Union sits down with GM, Ford, and Chrysler Fiat to hammer out a new contract next year. Marketplace's Adam Allington reports.
5 years ago, few would have imagined a future as bright as today. Hiring is up, profits are up, gas is down, and the Detroit Three have a stable of sexy new cars. Profits are up in part because wages for senior workers have been frozen for 10 years, and new hires are paid on a much lower scale. Tim O'Hara is the vice president of UAW Local 1120 at the GM assembly plant in Lordstown, Ohio.
You know, it is hard when you have people working right next to each other, making two different wages, doing basically the same work. So hopefully we can get that turned around in the negotiations coming up.
Bill Visnick is a senior editor at Edmunds.com. He says the UAW could make a case that the period of austerity in Detroit is over.
We see your quarterly reports. You're making billions of dollars. You know, share that with us.
Visnick says auto workers have received profit-sharing bonuses, and car makers aren't likely to roll back the concessions they feel are key to their current success. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
Let's check the numbers. The 100-share index in London is up less than 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed. Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. Americans do have a talent for throwing out perfectly good stuff, from last night's leftovers to last season's shoes. And here's what we also throw out: perfectly safe medicines, drugs that have already been paid for, often from nursing homes and other long-term care facilities. These often end up incinerated or actually flushed down the commode. University of Chicago researchers estimate as much as $2 billion worth of prescription drugs are being wasted every year. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein reports on efforts to harvest a hidden bounty.
By law, nursing homes can only administer a given drug to one patient, even if another guy down the hall has the same prescription. So when that patient is discharged or dies, there's really nothing nursing homes can do with these perfectly safe, paid-for pills. So they call Larry McCarty, a medical waste hauler.
What we use is a completely nondescript truck because when it's driving down the street and I have 600-700 pounds of this in it, I just as soon not have it and people be aware.
McCarty says each of his nursing home clients in California are throwing away about 24 gallons of meds every 5 to 6 weeks. The wastefulness even startles a guy who picks this stuff up for a living.
Brand new packages that have never been opened that still have the packing, the saran over the top of them, and their whole package is just sitting in there.
From McCarty's innocuous-looking truck to here, a waste transfer station in Hayward. Ultimately, everything gets put on a train, headed to, believe it or not, an incinerator in Maryland.
The absurdity of the waste and how gross it is, the fact that it's raining down on families where these drugs are being burnt, it's insane, right?
George Wong is one of the directors for Serum, a startup nonprofit in California. Since 2010, Serum has helped redistribute about $3 million worth of drugs to an estimated 20,000 patients. While there are several state drug donation programs, Serum has built software that makes it easy for nursing homes to ship unused drugs to pharmacists.
We're like a communications hub. People say the match.com for surplus medicine.
Some 42 states have drug donation recycling laws on the books, but Wong says few actually do much.
If you can recycle a Coke can, like why aren't we recycling $10 pills or $1,000 injectables?
Wong says at a time when one in four adults struggles to afford their prescriptions, throwing away good medicine is just foolish. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And this week, we're looking at the economics of renewal in the former horror known as Eastern Congo. Yesterday, Marketplace's Sabri Benishour spoke to a former child soldier about her efforts to put her life back together. The region is also trying to wean itself from the use of the U.S. dollar.
The only haven that the companies had was to operate in foreign currency. This was the only way they could protect themselves against inflation.
If you missed that story from Eastern Congo on the air today, it's at marketplace.org. We also have a smartphone app for our work. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.